Your Bible turned this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to begin at verse 12 this morning and read through most of the chapter. And then we're going to go back and look at some verses the Lord wants us to look at this morning. The Bible says in verse 12, He said, "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain also. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Now watch this, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall we do, which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are we then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts of Ephesus, what advantageth it me? If the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. He said, I speak this to your shame. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, thou which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, and to every seed His own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star different from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, and it was raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it's raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. I want to preach just a little while this morning, if God will be my help, on the resurrection from the dead. the resurrection of life. Amen. I want to say today that we're serving a risen Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord God incarnate. He came and He lived and He died on the cross of Calvary. A lot of people look to the cross today and they see a Savior hanging on that tree. And He did. He hung on there. He became sin for you and I. He took upon Himself the sins of the world. He became that sin that we have, that was manifest to us because of sin and sinfulness. It said that first man, Adam, died, and he died because of sin. Man, I've told you before, Adam and Eve were designed to live forever. Amen? And they could have lived forever in the garden if they had chose to obey God. Amen? They could have lived forever if they had obeyed God. They would have went to sleep at night. That woke up the next morning a brand new person throughout all eternity, amen, without end. But because of sin, praise God, they fell. They were moved out of the garden, and they become like you and I. They become living beings, praise God, that were scheduled to die. The Bible said we've all got an appointment, amen, that we're going to meet one day. The Bible says it's appointed man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. One day we're going to go either by the rapture or by the grave. And one day, praise God, we're going to come out. Amen. We're going to stand and give account before a thrice holy God. I'm looking forward, praise God, to seeing my Savior. I'm not looking forward to giving account of my life because my life's not always been what it should be. But I'm glad I serve a Savior who lives in my heart, and He's always been good in me. He's never failed me. He's never let me down. He's always been exactly what I need to be. He's walked with me. He's talked with me. He's led me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Have I stumbled? Have I been awkward on the path? Yes, I have. And you have too. But I'm glad there's a God that'll help us. When we trip, praise God, He'll keep us from falling. He'll lead us and guide us in the way that we'll go. And He'll catch us if we fall, that we'll never hit the ground. Amen. Glory be to God. I'm glad I serve a God. I'm glad I serve a risen Savior. A lot of people believe He went to the cross. A lot of people believe He died. But a lot of people don't believe that He rose. We celebrate on Easter Sunday morning the resurrection of a Savior. Amen. Our Lord and Savior, there's a lot of gods, amen, in this world. But there's a lot of men that proclaimed themselves of God. A lot of men that proclaimed themselves to be great prophets. But I won't say they was one Lord and Savior. He lived, He died, and praise God, He's living again. Amen. He lives forevermore. Praise God, on that third morning, He got up just like He said He would. Amen. Praise God, I'm glad that He is. But we got to look and see that the resurrection, amen, is a resurrection of life. Amen. I will say, praise God, it's not meant to be a resurrection of the dead. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, He said, "And many of them that slept in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Now that word contempt needs to back be an act of despising, an act of shame, and an act of disgrace. He said some of them that slept, some of them that's died and went out of here, that's sleeping in the ground, amen, they'll be awakened under disgrace and shame. And not only did they die, but they'll die again when they stand before the Lord. And He said, "Depart from me, I never knew you," to be cast away from God forever. Amen. But I'm glad we serve a risen Savior. If we accept Him and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He is that first fruit unto salvation. Amen. Amen. He is that first one that came out. He was a spotless, sinless lamb as John was a baptizing in Jordan. John Baptist was baptizing in Jordan. He seen Jesus coming to him, and he looked over in the horizon. And as the sun was coming up, the sun was literally coming up. And he come up over the hill, and John looked, and he seen the Son. And as he got to looking further, he seen the Son of God. He seen that precious Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. There's only one person that can do that, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and took. He came and lived and died to take away the sins of the world. Amen. 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 Praise God. And because He did that, amen, we can have eternal life. We're not those that's caught up in the contempt and everlasting contempt and everlasting despising and disgrace before a holy God. But we're those that wake unto that everlasting life. Amen. When we're born again, praise God, we live in this world. And one day in a little while, if time tarries on, amen, we may go and they may roll us up before a church and they may say a few words over. But if you're a child of God, amen, that's just the vessel that we tabernacled in here. But glory be to God, you're passed out of that and you're going to be in the presence of the Lord, and so shall you ever be. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 6 through 8, it tells us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I'm looking for the out of body experience. Amen. You say, why is that, Pastor Jeff? Because this body causes me a lot of sorrows. This body gives me a lot of discomfort. This body takes me things, causes me to do things I wish I didn't do. Paul said, I would that I would not, I do not. Amen. He said, I'm caught up in this old vessel of clay. But he said, but through Jesus Christ my Lord. He said, that body of death is taken away. And he said, I've been given liberty in Christ this morning. Ain't you glad for the liberty we have, that we might have life in the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Amen. What do you say? And I'm saying, we're not serving a dead Savior. Amen. He's not on a cross and he's not in a tomb. He rose up on that third and appointed day. Hey, praise God. When he rose up, praise God, he rose up above everything that would pull us down, that would hold us down, that would hinder our life and keep us from being able to acknowledge what a great Savior he is. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We serve a Savior with power. Amen. He gives us that life. Now, life is something that's precious. Now, an animal has life. Our little animals that we have, and I guess as you get older, you get more tender-hearted. I mean, we work on we live on a working farm. We've always had a farm. We've always raised cattle and livestock and things, and you would grow them up, and you'd lay the grain to them, and you watch them get fat and sicey, and then you haul them down to the slaughterhouse, and you have them butchered up so you can put them on the table. And it used to really bother me. I mean, it used to not really bother me. But now it bothers me. Amen. And when I go and feed these critters every day and I give them their hay and their grain, I get attached to them. I think it's just because as we get older, our consciences mature and we realize that death is getting closer on our heel. It's following after us. That shadow of death that Dave talked about in the 23rd Psalm, praise God, it's a following after us. But I'm glad I can keep my eyes on the Son, the precious Lamb of God, as long as I'm a looking to Him, that shadow. Amen. Anytime you're facing the Son, the shadow's always going to be behind you. Amen. Only time that shadow overtakes us, praise God, when we take our eyes off the Son. You say, well, preacher, what about those of us going to get old? One day we will die. One day we may get sick and sickly. We may get to where we can't go. We may do it. But praise God, as we keep our eyes on the Son, the S-O-N, praise God, He'll keep drawing us unto Him. And one day He'll receive us unto Himself. Because He promised that He would. Amen. But we see animals. That animals come and they live. And animals don't have a soul like you and I have. Amen. They're born and they live. They have life. They have animation. They have a vitality about them. And it's precious. It's enduring. Amen. There's in them an instinct to survive. We had a little calf last week. And the cow had the calf down there. And by the time we realized she'd had it, she'd done had it. She'd cleaned it up. And it was a running and a bouncing and a jumping around. And I got to thinking on that the other day. I thought, man, how big our God is. Because that little old bitty calf, I mean, without any knowledge, without being taught, praise God, jumped up and started running around. You know why it done that? Because it did not know. It didn't have the reason to know that it wasn't supposed to. Amen? Amen. It jumped up, praise God. It hadn't probably much more been on the ground just a little bit. And it got up on them little old wobbly legs for the first time. Amen. Sometimes as Christians, that's what we got to do. Just get up on them little wobbly legs for the first time. Realize, pray God, there's a holy God who's offered to help us. Amen. A risen Savior who's promised to never leave us nor forsake us, but He'd always be there with us to lead us and guide us and show us the way. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the amazing thing about that, oh, in a little while, though, it don't take Him but just a little bit. That little fella was looking for a place to get something to eat. Amen. He went to looking for, and he automatically began to come circle that cow and go up to her and begin to nudge her. Amen. He nudged all over till he found out where her bag was. And praise God, boy, then he went to town. Amen. He done found the source of the milk. Amen. Glory be to God. And he settled in. Amen. And he began to grow. Amen. Praise God. That's what an animal is. That's what they do. By instinct, animation, they live. But I want to say God didn't create us that simple. God created us, praise God, to be a living soul. Amen. He created animals and he put them in the garden. All these varieties, and he created man. He put him there and told man, said, you take it and you go ahead and just name them what you want to call them. You ever wonder where some of these names come from? Blame it on Adam. Adam named them, amen? God gave the authority to him. But God put them in the garden. Now, I want you to just notice this morning, that the man is just a little bit different from a man, just a little bit different from animals. Amen. God says it in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. It said, the word of God, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed, now watch this, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Amen. Man became a living soul. It was because that breath that God breathed into Adam. Amen. Now he took him out of he created him out of the dust. He took the earth, the dust, and formed him in fashion. The Bible says, in the likeness of God. Amen. Amen. That's because we've got three essences: the body, soul, and spirit. Amen. You God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why we're likened to God. So he created us, amen. He formed us out of, and you can tell that. Lord, you know how you can tell you're created from the dust? Because you men, praise God, when you take your shirt off at night, if you worked and sweated and plowed and had a hard day, you take your shirt off, especially if it's a white shirt, and you'll have ring around the collar. Amen. There'll be a dirty streak around your collar where your dirt's wearing off. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The dirt, our dirt's wearing off. It's giving out. But you know, when women take it, they don't have that. Now you may have some staining from your makeup, but a woman don't, her, she don't wipe off, rub off on her clothes. You know why? Because she's not made of dirt. Amen. You women are saying, glory to God. Amen. But you know what you're made of? You was made out of a rib. Said God caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. Because he looked around, he seen all these animals, they all had mates, they had somebody to be with them. And he said, hey, I need to make somebody for him. Amen. So he caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, Genesis chapter 2. And when Adam went to sleep, that was the first time anesthesia was used. See, these geniuses think they come up with something when they invented that. And I won't say God used it way before they even know what it was. But he caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. And you know what he did? The Bible said he took out of him a rib. Now let me just say something. He didn't take a bone out of his foot, because he's not supposed to be walked on and stepped on. He didn't take a bone out of his hand or his arm, because she's not supposed to be beat around and manhandled. Amen? Are you hearing me? But he took a bone out of the rib, praise God. He took that part that was closest to his heart and he created him a helpmeet. Someone to be there for him. Someone to love. Someone to care for. Someone to be like Christ for. Amen? Praise the Lord. So he created man. Praise God. He gave him a body soul. So Timothy says that. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now I'm going somewhere with this morning. Just hang on. We're going to get there in a minute. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Amen. As we realize mankind and who we are, what we consist of. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 8. Now I like this first part of this verse. It says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Amen. I say amen right there. Amen. Amen. But what it's saying, it profits a little. So we ought to do it a little. Amen. Amen. But, he said, but bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Now watch this. Having promise of the life that now is, amen, and of that which is to come. What in the world is Paul talking about? He's talking about that resurrection life. He said that life that we have now in Christ Jesus our Lord, when we make Him our Lord and our Savior, our Christ, our Savior Supreme, our Lord and our Master, amen, the Shepherd of our souls, praise God, and we can have life, and Paul says, in that in abundance. A great big bunch of life. But people are wanting to walk around in an old dead carcass, an old dirty dead carcass without any help and without any hope. I read an article the other day that, now listen to this, that said teenage suicide is up in the last few years from 2014 to now is up 70%. Teenage suicide is up 70% in the last 4 years. I said, God help. How could little old youngins be that discouraged? You know why? Because we don't have no hope. And when you don't have no hope, you don't have no help. You don't have no expectations. But when we have hope in Christ, we have all that we need, praise God. Because we know that we'll be satisfied, we'll be okay here. We can have joy here and joy unspeakable in glory to come. Amen. Amen. We have that blessed hope in the Lord. But what Paul's talking about here to young Timothy, he's talking about that state of being. He said where that body and that soul comes together and becomes one. Amen. I want to show you something this morning. See this piece of thread? Yeah, you are saying, yeah, part of you can't see. You couldn't see it if you were standing up here with me. Amen. This is a piece of thread. See how easy that's broken? A piece of thread. Now bear with me. This may take a minute, but I want to show you this morning. But you take a piece of thread. Amen. What am I doing, Mia? You know what Papa's doing. You take that piece, you take two pieces of thread, and you put those two pieces of thread together, and you get them even, and you begin to twist them together. This is what God does in relationships, by the way. I want to show you. Amen. Let's go back over to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 in verse 24. So he took Adam, he put him to sleep, and then he took out of a rib and he made Eve, gave him a wife. Amen. God sanctified that. In verse 24, listen to what he says. He said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So when I took that at one string and I pulled it, it didn't take a whole lot to break that. And it pulled right away. But when you take a string, the same string, and you put two of them together and you weave them together, you twist them together and you turn them together, amen, they become twice as strong. So that when you take those, and when the pressure's on, and when the pressure comes at you hard, see how much extra force it takes to break that? But I ain't got time to show you another one. But when I show you what Paul's talking about here, he said, when we come together, whether it be a husband and wife, whether it be me and you, when we come together, where two are together and we're bonded, he said, where we weave and we cleave, we're glued together, we're bonded together, we become one. He said, it's almost a force that's inseparable. But when you put God in the midst, when you put the Lord Jesus Christ in there with it, praise God, you can't break it. Amen. Praise the Lord. It becomes so strong, amen. It becomes so invincible, praise God. It becomes a force to be reckoned with. But we tend to want to go your way and His way and our way and my way, praise God, when we ought to go God's way. And God says, I'll put together something, praise God. He says, I'll pull something together and make something of you, praise God, that'll be so strong that nothing can break it. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why I always say, youngins, I preach our young people, please stay in church. Stay with the Lord. Keep looking to God. Amen. Because you need Him. You need that extra strength. You need that binding. It's like taking that, praise God, and that Christ Jesus is the glue that holds it together. Amen. Praise the Lord. It binds it together. Praise God. That's why strength comes. That's why resurrection brings strength. Because it gives us hope. We see the story of Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about here in Corinthians about that burying. And he said, we don't bury a stalk of corn. He said, what we do is we take a seed of corn and we bury that seed. Now, did you know you can take a seed of corn, a kernel of corn, seed corn, and you can take that thing and put it in a mason jar after it's dried out good, and you can put that in the freezer, and 2, 3, 4 years from now, you can take that out. And you can, glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And you can take that out, and you can lay you off a row, and you can put a little fertilizer in there, and you can drop those ears, those kernels of corn in there, cover them up with a little dirt. God waters them with a little water. Praise God, and all of a sudden that thing sprouts into life. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Why? Because, praise God, the life that we need, praise God, it's in the seed. Amen. And I want to say that seed that was sown for you and I was Christ Jesus our Lord. He was sown that seed. He was planted in the heart of the earth. Praise. He was planted in that tomb. Praise God. And on the third day, praise God, alive, He revived. He come out of there resurrected. Amen. In resurrection power. Yeah. Amen. The stone was rolled away. Not so that they could see in. Amen. Not so He could get out, but so they could see in. He didn't need to roll the stone away because He's done. Amen. You remember just a little while later, the disciples was in the upper room. The door being shut. Amen. The door being shut. And they looked around and there was Jesus standing. He done walked in there and said, they was frightened. Amen. You want to know if they had anything to eat? And they gave Him a piece of fish and a honeycomb. Amen. And He did eat. Praise God. But you know, old Doubting Thomas wasn't there. We call him Doubting Thomas because he's just like most of us. He had his doubts. He had his doubts of what Jesus was. He had his doubts of what Jesus could do. Oh, he had seen all the signs. He had seen all the things He'd done. But he had his doubts. Amen. You have doubts? I want to say Jesus is the Lord. Amen. Don't doubt Him. He said, lest I see the holes in His hand, stick my hand into His side, I'll not believe. The Bible says 8 days later, they was in there, same situation, doors being shut. Praise God, Jesus showed up, and there's Thomas in the midst. Jesus just went over to him. He said, Thomas, he said, now nobody had told Jesus, filled him in on what happened 8 days before. But went over to Thomas. He said, Thomas, he said, stick your fingers in them holes. Thrust your hand into my side. And be not an unbeliever, but believe. Amen. Thomas didn't have to, praise God, he didn't have to stick his fingers in the holes. Didn't have to stick his hand in the side. Praise God. He said, Lord, my Lord and my God. Amen. He said, I see you and I believe. He said, blessed be. But he said, more so to those that don't see, but yet they believe. Amen. Do you believe Jesus got up victorious over grave? You believe He did it for you and I? So that we could go free? Amen. He is the price of our sinfulness. And when we put our faith and trust in Him, He becomes our salvation. He's that price, praise God, that God gave us. I mean, He was that seed that was planted. Amen? And we get that by expecting. Now, we're looking at the resurrection from the dead. Now, they were some people that was expecting Him to get up. Amen? If you look over Matthew chapter 27, Matthew chapter 27, in verse 51, Matthew 27, verse 51, the Bible says this. And he said, when Jesus was crucified, he said, "Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after His resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly this was the Son of God.'" Amen. Seeing, they believed. But they didn't believe till they saw. Amen. But it says in verse 55, and many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto Him, among which was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of Zebedee's children. Now when evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and then Pilate commanded the body be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a rock, rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. But now watch this, verse 61. It said, "There was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre." Amen. I wonder what they were waiting for. I want to tell you, you know what I'm waiting for today? I'm waiting to see a risen Savior. I'm looking for His appearing. Because one day He's going to change me, praise God, and take me to be with Him where He is. Amen. Praise God, that's what He promised. So they're gathered up here and they're waiting for the Lord. How do you know? Look at Mark. How do they know what to do? How do they know? Because they was following Jesus. And they seen His crucifixion from afar. They saw Him hung on a cross. They saw Him crucified, amen, slain and killed and hung on a cross. And they saw Joseph of Arimathea take Him down. Amen. They watched as He took Him and He cleaned Him up and He wrapped Him in that clean linen cloth, pure and white. And they took Him and they laid Him in a tomb. How did they know to watch? How did they know to wait? How did they know what to look for? In Mark chapter 10, in verse 32, the Bible says, "And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them. As they followed, they were afraid, and he began to tell them what things should happen unto Him." Now watch what He says. "Say, behold, we go." Now this is Jesus speaking. "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes. And they shall condemn Him to death and shall deliver Him to the Gentiles." Now He's prophesying what's going to happen to Him when He gets to Jerusalem. He's laying it out for them. And they shall mock Him and shall scourge Him and shall spit on Him and shall kill Him. But now watch this. "And the third day He shall arise." Amen. "He shall rise again." Amen. So these ladies that was ministered to Him, these ladies that were watching afar off, praise God, they was waiting for the resurrection. They was looking for the Savior, praise God, to get up. They was looking for Lord Jesus Christ, the first fruits from the dead. Amen. In Adam, all men die because we're dirt. Amen. But in Christ, all men are offered life eternal. Amen. To life eternal with Christ Jesus. He said, "For as in 1 Corinthians 15, 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Amen. He is that first fruit unto life. He is that resurrection of life. They were sitting, they were waiting, they were watching for Jesus to come out of the tomb. Amen. Praise the Lord. And they watched and they waited. For just a moment, they took their eyes off the tomb. The angel of the Lord come on it early in the morning, before daylight. At daylight, praise God, they come back to the tomb and the stone was rolled away. Amen. I want to say we need to be watching for the resurrection. We need to be watching for the Lord Jesus Christ to come and get us, to take us, to be with Him. Expect. He said, when I come, will I find faith when I come? Will I find people watching and looking, expecting me to come at any minute? Amen. Are we watching for Him? Are we expecting Him to come to get us like He could come today? Paul, when he preached here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, he said, we shall all be changed. He was expecting to be changed. Why? Because he was expecting that resurrection of life. Amen. He was fixing to be changed and taken to be with the Lord. And if we're expecting to be with the Lord, if we have that strength, if we had that interweaving Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, His resurrection, we've been made whole, soul, body, soul, and spirit with Him. It's a three-strand cord that cannot be broken. Amen. It makes us strong. It helps us to live strong and helps us to finish strong in the day and the hour that we live. Amen. We can be Christ-like today. We have the power in Him because He is that first fruit. Amen. He is that first fruit of the resurrection. And He's the first fruit of them that slept. I like it over there where he said on that day that he died and the earth shook and the graves was opened up and they was some old saints of God got out and just walked around. Amen. They seen them. See, that Lord was showing us what's going to take place when He comes for us. When the graves will open up. Amen. Those old saints of God and those old that died in the Old Testament looking toward the cross. Praise God, when Jesus died and when He rose again, praise God, they come out, He took captivity captive, brought them out of there, praise God, and give them that blessed hope. Amen. Took Him to be with Him. One day in a little while, the Lord Jesus is going to call us to be with Him. We love life. Everybody wants to go to heaven, no saying, but nobody wants to die. Amen. You know what? I've told you before, I don't worry so much about dying. I worry about living and being pleasing to my Lord. I want to do that, praise God, to bring honor and glory to His holy and righteous name. I don't want to do anything contrary to His Word. Do you know today that this is how God speaks to us? Amen. The Bible said it's given of the inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed. Just as the Ten Commandments, the first ones, were written with the finger of God. See, now they come down to the mountain. Moses come down to the bottom of the mountain. They were having them a time. They'd done made them a golden idol. Amen. They were trying to talk themselves in going back into Egypt, top of the world. Amen. And when Moses come down, he said, hey, he took those things, he throwed them down, and he break them. Why? Because they'd already broke them all anyway. Amen. They'd broke them all. Second time, God made Moses write them. Amen. He said, you won't be so in such a hurry to break them, praise God, if you have to carve them, chisel them out yourself. Amen. But God gives us His Word, amen, that we can build upon it so we can have that resurrection of life, that newness of life. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this, have we been born again? Paul told Nicodemus, said, you must be born again. Amen. Be born afresh, be born anew. Amen. He said, Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, He said, Jesus answered said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus was like most of you, most of us. He said, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, verily, verily, or of a truth, I say unto thee, except the man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What is the water and the Spirit? The water is the Word of God and the Spirit of God that speaks to us through the Word of God. Amen. And we realize that we're just an old sinner. We're sinners. We're all sinners. We're just vile. He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, we pray sometimes. We say, Lord, help me. Lord, I feel like I come short of your glory. No, we ought to say, Lord, forgive me an old sinner. Amen? Forgive me of my sinfulness. And forgive me of doing those things I know that's contrary to what you say. Amen. If we just come clean with God. Amen. Why? Because we're looking for a resurrection of life. A life from the dead. But see, Ephesians 2 said that we were all dead in our trespasses and sins. Amen. But God offers us eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. He continues talking to Nicodemus here in chapter 3, in verse 14. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, Jesus, be lifted up. That's why we preach Jesus. There's no other way. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way to get to heaven. He says, I am the door. Amen. He said, if you try to go any other way, he said, you come as thieves and robbers. You try to sneak in. I won't say, praise God, you ain't going to get by God. He keeps very good records. And he's got a really good alarm system in the Holy Spirit. He knows where we're at. He knows what we need. He knows how to speak to us. And he knows how to catch us up in our iniquity, sinfulness. But he said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now I want you to notice that word have is present tense. Amen. It's not down the road somewhere, he said, but we can have it right now when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we believe on Him, the death, burial, and the resurrection. Amen. When we believe that He died for us and He got up. So you say, well, why would a holy God do that for me? Because of verse 16. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, ain't you glad that includes me and you? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what He's talking about there? He said, shall not perish. He said that word perish means to make void and useless. And He means void and useless for the cause of Christ. That we don't honor and respect and reverence God. Amen. You know, when the only thing that'll keep us from going to heaven would be when we reject the Lamb of God. He said, it taketh away the sins of the world. When we reject Him, if we deny Him, He said, then we don't have no hope. Amen. But He said, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Amen. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. He said, the only thing that'll keep us out of heaven is unbelief. Not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, not trusting in Him. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the first part of this chapter that I read you, he says that what you have believed, he said, just stand on what you believe. He said in verse 2, he said, but by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, he said, number one, that which I also received, in other words, myself, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. That means because God said so. Amen. According to Scriptures. That's what God says. That's why He speaks to us. He said, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. And He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he says that He was seen of Cephas and then of 12, and He was seen above 500 at one time. Amen. Of whom a great part remained, to this present, but some are asleep. He said, some of them died, but a lot of the 500 still here with us. Paul was writing this years later. And he said, last of all, He was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Paul said, praise God, I'm glad. He said, I was seen of the Lord. I saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul saw Him on the road to Damascus with letters in his hand of persecution, going to persecute the church. Amen. And the Holy Ghost of God got a hold of his heart. The Lord Jesus Christ showed up, blinding light, blinding where he couldn't see. And amen, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Amen. And Jesus and Paul fell down and he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Amen. You know the story. Amen. The fellows is with Paul, they got him up. They heard a voice as it was thunder, but they couldn't hear what was going on between Paul and the Lord. And they got Paul up and they took him. The Lord sent him over to Straight Street. Amen. That blows my mind. The Holy Ghost, God's got a sense of humor. Amen. He sent Paul to Straight Street and he called Ananias. And he said, Ananias! He said, here, Lord, here I am. I'm just paraphrasing here. He said, here I am, Lord. And he said, Ananias, I want you to go over to Straight Street. He said, you'll find a young man named Saul of Tarsus. You know, Ananias said, whoa, wait a minute. I've heard of that fella. He persecutes the church. He treats us awful bad. He said, yeah, but he's had a change of heart. Amen. Paul was blind for 3 days. He had sat there pondering the things that God had showed him. Amen. He said, you go over there and you talk to him now. I said, he'll be ready to listen. And Ananias goes up there to Paul, where Paul is. Let me just tell you this, and I'm done. He went to where Paul was at. And the first thing he done is went over and he said, Brother Saul. Amen. Amen. Called him a brother. He said, Brother Saul, said the Lord told me. Basically, he said, told me to come talk to you. Show you what you need to do. Get you started on the right straight. He said, praise God. He said, I'm glad I found you on Straight Street. Amen. I want to say, praise God, there's a street called Straight, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that straight and narrow path. Amen. There's a Broadway out there. But the Bible said that Broadway leads to destruction. But he said there's a narrow path in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the good way. Amen. We need to follow that good way because that is the resurrection life. That gives us that newness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Gives us that help so that we can have the power, so that we can take the strings of our life, we can twist them and bind them together with the glue of Jesus, and it'll make them so strong, praise God, that nobody can break them. Amen. You want to have resurrection life. You want to have that resurrection life. You'll find it in the Lord Jesus Christ and nowhere else. You can hunt this world over. You can scrounge and look and try to find, and you'll never find it. But you can find it in the Lord Jesus. Amen. You say, how do I do that, preacher? How do I get? He said, by calling upon His name. Amen. By accepting Him as Lord Jesus Christ. By realizing, accepting what He done for you on Calvary. The first thing we have to do is just realize that we're just no sinner in need of a Savior. Amen. We're all old sinners. Amen. We're all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. But He said, Jesus come to save. He come to seek and to save old sinners. In other words, He's looking through the audience today. And He's trying to point you out with the finger of God. Trying to point your heart and saying, you know what? I love you and I sent my Son to die for you. Would you please receive Him today and let me move in your heart and let me help you to become what you need to be for God's glory. Amen? So that you can be all that you need to be for yourself and for all those around you. See, we have to be careful. If we ain't careful, we're selfish. Say, well, preacher, it's just about me. But I want to say it's not about you. It's about you and all those people that you come in contact with every day. Are you living a Christ-like life? Amen? Do you have that resurrection life, that believing life, that good life? I want to say, praise God, if you don't, you can have it today. By coming to Lord Jesus Christ, amen, you can come and ask Him, give your sins, believing that He'll save you, He'll keep you, He'll help you. But you have to believe. Amen. Do you believe today? Are you a believer?
Amen.
Amen. Do you believe on Him, trust in, rely on, and adhere to Him, listen to what He says, follow His guidelines? See, a lot of people say, well, you know, we don't have nothing to go by. Praise God, we got a map right here. Amen. A Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving earth. Amen. This is our instruction book. We can't follow just a little bit of it. Have you ever followed a map? You follow a little bit of it, praise God. You go a little ways and you think, well, I got this now. You throw your map in the back seat. Amen. And you get up there and you forget that there was another turn before you got to where you was going. Amen. What a lot we do in a lot of time, praise God, that we don't have resurrected life because that life that we need, praise God, is in His Word, and we don't want to hear, we don't want to change to be conformed to the likeness of the Word. We want to change the Word. Amen. But praise God, I'm glad the Word is forever settled in heaven. It's us, it's you and I that have to be changed. Amen. Praise the Lord. What about you this morning?